Balard O'Harris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
And we are in episode 2, Home.
Home, yep.
Because that's where Bran goes, is home, where he should not stay.
Not very long, though.
Yeah. I'd like to apologize up front. I'm working on a spring cold, so bear with me and my more nasally than usual voice. But I'm going to let Jesse kick off the recap, starting with Bran.
And we start north of the wall, and we see Bran, it's kind of a close-up on Bran clutching some tree, and then goes right into memories. It looks like old memories. Shows him walking in a memory of Ned Stark. And then Willis. How about Willis?
Oh, Hodor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting mystery, or, what happened plot point that they threw in there at us.
Yep.
You know, what happened to Willis to make him only say Hodor? Because he was well-spoken, right?
Yeah, he seems pretty well-spoken.
Yeah, so something happened to him, something bad, and it has to do with Hodor, because that's not his fucking name.
Nope. So then we go south of that to Castle Black, and it looks like the entrenched people are gearing up for a fight.
Oh, well, hold on. I want to hang back, though, because you remember what was happening in that scene?
Yeah, it was Ned and his cousin, or uncle?
His brother, his little brother.
Brother.
Yeah, Benjen, right? So that's the guy that Jon Snow originally went north of the wall looking for.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, of course, they tried to make Hodor fight, but I guess his mom or his caretaker, the matron who runs, the household, whatever, was going to have no part of that because he's not a warrior. He's a stable boy.
I really just have one question. How does one get giant's blood?
I don't know. So you have the immediate, his mother had sex with a giant, or it could be like one of those genes, like ancestors. So many ancestors ago, there's a giant in the family, and every now and then that gene will make itself known in the descendants, and you get like big people.
Just sort of weird.
I don't know. How do you get half-orcs in D&D or whatever else?
True enough.
Looking at the giant in this episode, I don't know how that happened. Maybe it was a female giant. Maybe it was a female, like a giantess. I think the other way would probably work physically, would be more apt to work.
Difficult.
Yeah, than the other way around. The other way around sounds painful and not well-fitting.
No.
So anyways, right after this, where do we go right after this?
We go back to Castle Black, and it looks like our entrenched defenders, or holdouts or whatever, are gearing up for a fight. And Davos even borrows Jon Snow's sword, though he says he's not very good with one.
He apologizes, though, right? That's interesting. Yep. He apologizes, like, I apologize for what you're about to see. Using Jon, I think what he was apologizing for was actually pulling the Lord Commander's sword.
Yeah, probably. But I guess if they're about to die together,
yeah,
might as well use what you got, right? Jon Snow is apparently past the point of caring. And then we see the wildlings show up.
Yeah, said giant bashes down the door. The gates.
Anybody that gets a little too frisky gets, anybody gets too uppity, get wrecked.
Yeah. Wrecked. Two things I want to note here. Yeah, so right, the archer, he gets slung up against the wall like a sack of potatoes. I love like the trail of brains and blood and flesh and gruesome bits of humanity that gets slung all over the courtyard there. And then, of course, the boy attacks, right?
Yep.
But they don't kill him. They don't kill him. In fact, they didn't come in there and kill anybody immediately, just the ones
there was that guy who rushed him at the beginning.
Well, what I'm saying is they just didn't kill people. They only killed aggressive people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely didn't attack anybody who didn't attack them first.
So, which I think is an important thing to note, and I think will be remembered, because, they round them up and send them to the dungeons.
What do you think is going to be the fate of the, I guess, new Lord Commander?
Did they choose a new Lord Commander? Don't they have to vote?
Yeah, but do you think they did? I thought they did.
I figured they'd show that. They didn't show any votes. This is all the same day that... It's all in the same day after Jon's body was discovered.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They really haven't had time. So I think that's it, Castle Black, for that scene. And then we go south to King's Landing, where some dude is talking about his encounter with Cersei when she was being paraded through the streets.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was pretty much telegraphed what was going to happen to this guy. Why, unless this guy's going to become a major player in Shaker, which I know he's not, why are we going to show it? I'm like, this guy is so dead.
I was just waiting for it. And I couldn't wait for this. I've been waiting for this for a while. Ever since Cersei got back, she's one of my new favorite characters. Because there's just vengeance. There's nothing left but hate.
I still don't like Cersei. She's not a favorite character.
But we get to see some
however,
mountain
the mountain
action,
does crush Johnson.
Sister,
I'm going to call him Johnson for lack of a better name. Johnson's head against the brick wall is taking a
Is that pick. His first kill after after he got back? I think that's his first kill.
Well, it's the first one they've shown us anyways. Yeah.
So then we go to the scene with Cersei coming down the stairs from her tower and getting stopped by...
With the mountain.
Yeah, with the mountain. And getting stopped by some of the Kingsguard. It seems Tommen has forbidden her from going to Marsala's funeral. Did I say your name right? Marsala?
Right. And there's a standoff between Cersei and the mountain with the Kingsguard. And you can tell the Kingsguard don't want any of this, but they're kind of beholden to their
team. I think we all know how that would have turned out, and it wouldn't have been ended prettily for the Kingsguard.
No, there's a lot of them, so I think they probably could have took the mountain, but a lot of them were going to die.
It's something none of them.
I don't think the mountain is immortal now by any means.
No, but I think it'll take more than a normal man, definitely.
Oh, sure, yeah. But, I mean, he's still flesh and blood, so you can hamstring him and all that other stuff. Things will fail to function properly, you know what I mean?
That's very true. So then we skip into Marcella's funeral, and
yeah, there's not very many people there, is nope. there? At least not at the beginning.
And we see a private moment between Jaime and Tommen. Do you think Tommen knows Jaime is his father?
Well, Cersei already admitted her sins, right?
That's true.
So this is now fact.
Yep.
Is now fact known at least all over King's Landing and anybody who has ears in King's Landing.
They have a nice moment where basically Tommen admits to being weak. Like, he didn't do anything. He didn't save Cersei. He let her take that walk of shame. He can't even save his own wife.
He didn't save Margaery. Yep. He's scared.
So then we see the High Sparrow barge in, basically throwing his weight around that he's basically somewhere he's not wanted. Shouldn't have been.
Him and Jaime face off.
Yeah, it was a nice face off. I was waiting for violence. I was ready for some violence.
Well, he's wanting to do some violence, that's for sure. But I think discretion won out over valor once, you know, all the peons showed up.
I have so many questions about that scene. So many questions.
What's the question?
Basically...
Well, we'll cover that. We'll cover that in the deep dive.
Okay. Yeah, we'll cover that.
So there's a face off between Jaime and the Sparrow. A little bit of talking about, hey, are you going to shed blood in here? And Jaime's like, the gods don't care. They've shed more blood than us
Loved
all.
Loved that line. It's so perfect.
Yeah, so, and then there's some words said by the Sparrow, something about, you go ahead, I deserve it. Well, you know, they say all this deserving stuff, but I don't see any of them in the dungeons getting beat and tortured.
One's doing the beating.
So, whatever. Yeah.
So then we skip ahead to Cersei and Tommen having a private moment where he apologizes for basically being helpless, being weak.
After being sent there by Jaime. Yeah. Go see your mother.
Which I don't...
Just apologize to her. You know, there's a moment in this scene I was wondering if she'd just commit murder.
Oh, I was kind of wondering too.
You know what I mean? Like, she loves her kids, but she's kind of at this point...
She's unhinged a little bit.
She's unhinged, and I feel like she's, you know, whatever prophecy that she told Jaime about the last episode, that maybe she just wants to fulfill it and get it over with. And so I was wondering if there's going to be a little backstabbing or some poison or something. But no, it looked like, you know, they actually had a special moment there. They hugged, they embraced. For the longest time, Cersei didn't actually look him in the eye when he was talking.
Yeah, that's what made me think
it was always her back was to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, he finally, I guess, manned up and admitted his faults and what he did or shouldn't have done.
And
asked. The key was he asked her for her help.
Yep, he basically delivered the kingdom into her clutches, and we're going to see some awesome revenge happening soon.
Yeah, it'll be starting next episode, I think.
Yep.
Oathbreaker is the name of that, so it'll be interesting to see whose oaths are broken, besides Jaime's.
Then we go across to Slaver's Bay and Meereen, where we have the Council of the Dickless and Dwarves. Making some eunuch...
To be fair...
Eunuch and dwarf jokes.
Varys makes dwarf jokes, right? No, but he thinks so.
He did not deny that one. But I still think he gets the harsh end of that one.
He does, but you know what? Tyrion's worth dealing with that, I guess.
So they learn of the rebellion in the other cities.
Which was a no-brainer. Didn't we already know that was going to happen? Or didn't, you know... It was obviously on its
way. Yeah.
That the Masters took... Except for Meereen, everything else in Slaver's Bay is returned back.
I thought it was going to go the other way. Like, pretty much all the Masters would be murdered by the slaves. Which,
No.
That seems the way that it's going when they're talking to Lord of Light and the graffiti and shit.
Maybe, but I think they're playing up the angle that slaves don't know what to do with their freedom. And just having it foisted on them, you know, like, they're not ready for that.
Nope.
The interesting part about this is Tyrion basically states his role in all this, right? He drinks and he knows stuff. But what does he know stuff about in this particular scene?
I don't know where you're going with that.
Dragons? That's where I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not this scene?
Yeah. They talk about dragons.
I couldn't remember if they split it up.
Yeah, they talked about dragons. And they talked about Yeah, because apparently Tyrion's always wanted dragons, as we find out. And he's got a point. Right. He does have a point. The Targaryens chained their dragons and they became progressively smaller. He's got a good outlook on that. I like that.
Yeah, so I guess the information here that's important is you can't, if once you start putting dragons in captivity, that they don't do well, right? Like most animals, they don't do well in captivity.
Yep.
They begin shrinking in size and become basically impotent. He said by the end of Targaryen's rule, or by the end of the last dragons that they had, they are the size of house cats.
So then we go down to the actual dungeon where it seems that Tyrion's going to actually approach these dragons. This will be the friend of dragons, or maybe the father of dragons. I don't know.
The dwarf of dragons. Yeah.
So you see him cautiously approach and then actually pull the collars off the dragons.
Well, and he's talking to them the whole time, right? Because he stated before he came down there that they're intelligent. And even some maesters think that they're more intelligent than humans.
Yeah, and he's basically giving them a whole spiel as he does it, wishing he had dragons when he was little. I wish he would have too. That would be awesome. You see, I was expecting, I don't know, a rampage after they got free, at the very least. They definitely basically offered up that collar to be pulled off, and then they just curled up together.
Yeah, and Tyrion is right. So they kind of recognize their friends, right? So Tyrion set them free. He's now a friend.
Yep.
And they didn't eat him because of that. Or maybe they didn't eat him because they didn't think it was worth chewing on a dwarf.
Who knows? We'll see later.
However, it was during this scene I almost thought, this is the thing that Jesse's always predicted, that Tyrion's going to go off flying on a dragon.
I would love that. Oh my God.
I thought that was going to happen. It was so close.
But I and of course, still hope that happens.
The closing line right before the end of the scene, as he's walking out of the dungeon, he says to Varys, he's like, if I ever have another idea like that, punch me
in the
face. I
love how Varys definitely had a vote of confidence there. Didn't you see that? He just hung back by the door.
Yeah, he's like, yes, I will surely punch you in the face.
He wouldn't come any closer than that door. He's not a fool.
Oh no. Hell no.
So then we go...
Friendship with a dragon doesn't mean that much to
no. him. No. He doesn't put his faith in that kind of stuff. So then we skip across to Braavos, where we see another blind girl beat down. The beatings will continue until names are forgotten, I guess. So we see another beating.
Except they don't. That's what the wave says, right? But that's not what happens.
Hmm?
So it's only the second day of beatings. The beatings don't continue because Jaqen H'ghar shows up,
are
right?
We sure it's only the second day of beatings? They didn't really give you a timeline for anything.
I said it is the second day of beatings. Well, so the last time we saw her, she said, I'll be back tomorrow. And she didn't look like she'd been having beatings for a week or anything.
I don't know. She looked pretty messed up. Now, she wasn't completely purple.
Only from the hit to the face yesterday.
Yeah, she wasn't completely purple, but who knows?
I get the feeling it's the very next day.
I have a feeling she might have been a slower learner than that. And they just kind of compressed it for...
No, I don't... They didn't give any additional inclination that this has been going on longer than it has.
Eh.
But here's another thing. So the waif immediately disappeared and Jaqen showed up. I think they're the same person.
I don't know. I've seen them in the same room together, so I'm...
Yeah, but anybody can wear a face.
Eh, I'm disinclined to agree with that. I think there's more than one faceless man.
Well, I think there may be, but what I'm saying is that, I don't know. I think they're the same person. The waif and Jaqen. I think
we'll
see it happen.
That's an interesting theory. I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. At least the waif in this instance is also Jaqen. May have been someone different before, but in this instance, I think it's H'ghar. So he brings her back, right? Oh, you won't need that stupid dish that you've been begging out of. After he offers her all kinds of things, like, if you say your name, I'll give you a bed to sleep in. If you say your name, I'll feed you. If a girl says her name, I'll restore your vision. Do you think any of that would have happened if she said, I'm Arya?
Nope.
I don't think so either. Probably would have been death. You can see in the afterlife. You can eat in the afterlife. You'll have a bed in the afterlife. Where do we go after Braavos?
We kick it to the Iron Islands, where we see Yara talking with her father, basically about having not rescuing Theon.
And also losing his kingdom, right?
Yeah, losing portions of his kingdom. Basically
tactics,
everything they've...
strategy.
Everything they've captured so far, kind of.
And also throwing in his face what happened before, which is the whole reason they lost Theon to Ned Stark.
Yeah. So then we see him...
Did you notice that she said, that day I lost two brothers? And then he's like, I lost three sons. So Yara still considers Theon family, but he doesn't.
Three sons. Where does he get...
So two of his sons died. That's what Yara's talking about. That day when they stormed the castle.
So where is the third one?
The third one's Theon. But she doesn't consider him lost. He does.
Oh, okay. I missed that connotation.
But it really doesn't matter because whatever he thinks doesn't last very long.
No. No, we see him crossing a bridge. By the way, what a construction. Wow.
Well, what I'm thinking is, who the fuck thought of that?
Yeah, no.
And why
kidding.
Would you cross it in a storm?
Not only that thing's not even big enough for two people to cross side by side. So why?
That was a bad idea.
That was just bad. I don't know. That's shoddy craftsmanship.
Poor engineering is what that
is. Or maybe it's supposed to be a test every time you cross that thing. Who knows?
I guess. Maybe it shows how badass they are.
But the king always gets the right of way, unless, of course, he's facing somebody who's going to throw him off that fucking bridge. So it looks like his brother returned. Have we seen this character before?
No, this guy, his name is Euron, or Euron.
I don't think I caught his name, I just remember.
Yeah, so, Balon tries to stab him, right? It almost looks like he tried to stab him in the face, but...
He cut him.
Euron is actually way younger than this guy, and just, he cut him, but, he got the... the rough end of that beat.
Yeah, it took a tumble.
And then right after that, we see the funeral, which is, it's an interesting rite. It's very Cthulhu, right? Or at least that's how I see it. You have the drowned god, and then you're sending these guys out to sea to feed all his little undersea minions.
Yeah, it's really weird. I found their funeral rites to be a bit weird. But
so, they're all kind of fucked up out there.
I don't really understand their phrase either. What's dead may never die. I'm not sure I get that.
So, unless the drowned god is dead.
You can only die once, so...
Yeah, I don't know. So,
unless, of course, you're any number of characters who get resurrected.
Maybe they view themselves as already dead.
Yeah, that's kind of... I'm guessing that's the case.
So their god is dead,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so maybe their lives are on loan anyway.
Right.
So you see Yara pledge vengeance. She has no idea who did it. And
she's also tried to take over the Iron Islands.
Yep, and...
But that's not the way shit down. Works down
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, get slapped down. Apparently they have a council.
There's a moot. Yeah. Yeah, a king's moot that decides who's going to be the next king or whatever. Doesn't matter what Balon wanted, only what the moot decides. However, he did say maybe you'll be the first woman to rule, but maybe not. Are you going to bet on she's going to be the first woman to rule the Iron Islands? I am. I think so.
I think when Euron shows up, or the fact that he's already back and made his attempt at coup, that he already had something planned. He's already revealed himself to the people he needed.
I think the long run, though, she's going to be... in charge.
Yeah, maybe the long run. So then we skip back to the Castle Black in the Wall, and we see Davos having a heart-to-heart with Melisandre, and we find out that she's been questioning her faith, because Davos asks her to revive Jon Snow.
Right, but she admits that she's never had that skill. Right?
No.
She's heard of it, she's met somebody that supposedly came back to life.
She supposedly...
But she says that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
And she's a fellow follower of the Lord of Light, so she should have known about this. You would think that all priests... I guess not, have the same sort of powers, but it doesn't look like it. I guess some of them don't have that favor or have never attempted it.
Or that's the thing, haven't attempted it. Maybe haven't had the inspiration, divine inspiration to do so.
So we see them gather around Jon Snow's corpse. She does some cleaning and then says a prayer. I saw something about people having translated it, but I didn't get to read that article. So we see her attempt the resurrection, and then after what looks like no results, everybody slowly trickles out of the room.
Yeah, starting with who, though?
I think it starts with the wildling. So we see Tormund leaving first. And then Melisandre, and then finally Davos after he gives up some hope.
Well, you forgot about Ed.
Oh, was it?
It was Tormund Ed, the loyalist guy.
Oh, yeah,
that went and got
spent
Tormund.
Most of his time in the background anyway.
And then, Davos is the last one to leave. But this is kind of interesting because they've been at odds with each other so much that for them to have this kind of moment, you can tell that Davos is maybe a little bit desperate.
Yeah, and then after and then she opens up to him. Like, she says, I was wrong. I know.
Yeah, she's questioning... I don't know if she's questioning whether or not the Lord of Light exists, but I think maybe she could be questioning whether or not he still blessed her with whatever he does.
I think she questions her faith in him at all. The fact that she saw victory and was given defeat, was handed defeat. So
I don't think she questions him. I think she questions her position.
It's interesting to see what effect the current situation will have on him. After everybody, so we see after everyone leaves, the Jon Snow does come back. First one to notice is Ghost, his wolf.
Yeah, he can't. They always have like a sixth sense or some kind of weird connection with their owners. These sets of dire wolves that the Starks took on.
And is his the last one left?
So he knows something's going on before. Huh?
Or is Bran still around? I think Summer's still around, right? Rickon's wolf, or is that Bran's wolf?
Yeah, but where's Rickon?
Yeah,
I don't know. Ghost is the only one we've seen with any recency.
Yep. Hopefully we continue to see him ripping out some, taking apart some people. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, what would be great is if he eats Roose. Or not Roose, I mean Ramsay.
Oh, we skipped that scene.
Yeah, I thought that the Jon awaking was the last scene. I knew we skipped something.
Yeah, the Boltons happened right after the blind girl beating. from Braavos. So then we go to the Boltons, Ramsay having a conversation with his father. Basically, they've been getting a report of all the slain men that Bran did away with. And who is that? One of the nobles, the northern nobles, basically pledges his loyalty and says, you know, you've got me.
Karstark.
The Karstarks.
House Karstark.
Basically saying we don't need the rest of the north, so we don't necessarily need Sansa, right?
Right. So basically he's saying we'll just take the biggest houses and whoop everybody else in the line.
Yep. Which I think is a bad idea. Bad plan.
Which is it. And that's what Roose says too, right? And he basically says if you act like a mad dog, you gain the reputation of a mad dog, you're going to be taken out back and treated like a mad dog.
Such a prophetic line, I think. I think that is exactly what will happen. So after we see...
And fed to the pigs.
Yeah. And then we get news about the new baby Bolton. Brand new baby Bolton boy. And I knew the moment that it came in that shit was about to go down. So we see a tender moment between Ramsay and Bruce where he gives him a hug and then stabs him in his fucking heart.
Yep.
Or stomach, or wherever he's stabbing.
I think we called that one a long time ago. As soon as he got married to the Frey girl.
I think this has been bound to happen. Ramsay is a rabid dog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm surprised that Roose found it surprising.
Yeah, no kidding. I wouldn't let that guy within, like, 20 feet of me. It's like just like the guy, the Dornish king who got his.
Oh, yeah. He was not smart.
No.
Turning his back on one of them. That was awful. You're talking about the prince.
Not right? Just the prince. The father, too.
Oh, yeah. They were both morons.
Yeah.
But who wasn't surprised in this scene?
Yeah, Karstark.
I think Ramsay was even surprised with himself a little bit, but Karstark was not surprised.
Nope.
Makes me wonder if he was let in on it, maybe. Like,
well, those two seemed to be in agreement before about the plan, as far as,
right.
You know.
Or that dude is just one cold character and played it really cool.
I think there was a little bit of plotting. I don't think whether it was boy or girl, Bolton was going to live. Bolton was going to live past this moment.
And then his little brother and mother.
Such a dark.
Walda.
Dark scene. Yeah, fed to the dogs.
leads him down in the kennels and sticks the dogs on him.
I thought it was going to end before that. I thought right there in the middle of the keep with all those people around, he was just going to toss that baby in the brassiere he was standing next to.
Yeah, he's pretty ruthless like that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him being able to keep people.
No.
When he acts like this.
Yeah, who the hell would want to work for him? It'd be way easier to run.
I don't know. All right, so we smashed through pretty much all the recap. What do you think the theme of this episode was?
Change of regime. Change of leadership.
Regime changes? Yeah. Roose took over. I mean, Ramsay took over from Roose.
We had the Iron...
Cersei is kind of pretty much back in power in King's Landing.
Yep, and we had the Ramsay, Iron Island switching.
So that hasn't... No one's taken that place yet, but now there's a vacancy.
Yep, and then...
The Wildlings took over Castle Black, and then we'll see Jon Stark. He came back, right? So he's going to take over... He's going to take over Castle Black again. He'll have, like... 5 Night's Watch.
Yep.
And a whole shit ton of Wildlings. So,
do you think
one of the things I want to...
Do you think they'll hold the wall?
Well, I think they're going to hold the wall against Ramsay.
That's true.
Because that's Ramsay's next plan, right? That he was going to take the Karstarks and... Or actually, he said a small group of men, right?
A few good men.
A few good men because, you know, they're like... There's only a handful of Night's Watch left up there, what he thinks.
Yeah, I don't think they're counting on Wildlings, though.
Or Giants.
Nope.
They aren't counting on any of that shit. So I'm super, super hoping that Ramsay comes, knocks on their door, gets his ass whipped, they chase him all the way back to Winterfell, gets eaten by ghosts.
Yeah, I hope he gets eaten by ghosts.
Yeah, and then Jon Stark takes Winterfell again, which would fulfill the Red Woman's prophecy, right?
I don't know. I don't remember that prophecy.
Well, she said that I saw him, the fire showed me him fighting at Winterfell, or him being at Winterfell, which would mean he would have won it.
Yeah, that's true.
So some interesting things that we saw here. So I want to talk about Bran a bit. Go back to the very beginning of the episode. Bran. So he can walk through the past, which I think is a very important thing here. Because we kind of have a mystery that no one knows that a lot of people have a bunch of theories about, right?
So you think it's going to be...
Jon Snow.
Yeah, Jon Snow's birth and all that junk.
Yeah, so who is Jon Snow? Who's his actual father? He's obviously not... I don't think he's the bastard child of Ned, because Ned was just so straight fucking laced, he couldn't even bend to save his own life or the life of his, you know, his position, his family, kind of that... he kind of started the whole thing rolling, right? The
yep.
whole everything happening. So he's so straight-laced, I can't see him having a bastard child. So I think through Bran, we'll figure out who John really is.
I agree. I can see that happening. What do you think how long do you think they're going to show him up at the North like that? Because, I mean, they already mentioned...
So the what do they call them? The spirit folk or whatever, the Fae,
isn't
right?
Isn't it the like fairy? The Children of the Forest or something?
Yeah, the Children of the Forest. The Child of the Forest actually told the girl that accompanied him, what's her name? Do you remember her name?
Isn't it...
Mira? Yeah, Mira Reed, right?
Yep.
So the Child of the Forest tells her, because she's getting kind of frustrated because she's just hanging out here for 11 episodes. Not on the TV. By the way, he has totally grown up over the last year and a half or however long it's been since we've seen him.
Yep.
So she's getting frustrated just kind of sitting by watching him have these visions. But the Child of the Forest told her, hey, he's not going to be here forever, and he's going to need you to get through all this wasteland to get back where he belongs. You know, he's not going to be able to hang out with Father Merrin all day. Do you know who Father Merrin is?
Yep.
The Three-Eyed Crow?
Yep.
From The Exorcist? You know, he played Father Merrin in The Exorcist. Have you ever watched The Exorcist, Jesse?
No.
The actor's name is Max von Sydow, but I think he's most known for being Father Merrin in The Exorcist, and then also Ming the Merciless in Flash Gordon. Tell me you've watched Flash Gordon.
I have not.
Aww.
I have not.
You are... missing out, man. Missing out. The Exorcist, one of the worst.
I will take your word for it.
One of the most horrific, like mentally horrific movies you can ever watch. Watch it and not have a nightmare about it at least once. I dare you.
That's okay.
I'm an atheist, and that thing still gives me the creeps watching it. It's crazy, man. So you have Father Merrin or Ming, because they call him the Three-Eyed Crow, but that seems like a horrible name. I'll call him Ming. That's better. Merciless Ming is up there teaching Bran the ways of magic.
I've been told from like the books, isn't he supposed to be like White Walker or something like that, or something?
Well, he doesn't look very White Walker-ish.
No, he really doesn't.
It doesn't look like he can move out from the damn roots of the tree, to be honest.
No, he looks
pretty
stuck
there. Have we ever
seen
him outside of the roots? Yeah. I mean, that's where Bran found him, and that's where he still is. Another note to make is that he doesn't want Bran sticking in those visions very long because of the, you know, it's kind of like...
addiction.
It's an addiction. You won't want to leave, and then you'll just die in the vision, you know, yep. In your vision.
Become a little too comfortable, which it seemed Bran was. He was definitely comfortable there watching his... watching his father and his uncle.
Well, that's so cool, man. Yeah. I'd want to do it too. You know, if I could, I wonder if it's tied only to his ancestors.
Yeah.
Like, can he only go back through?
What is the extent of that power? I'm kind of curious about
that. Yeah, what
is he reliving other people's memories? Is he reliving just scenes in time? Is he reliving where there's one of those trees? Is it, it's kind of.
And when do we learn about Willis and Hodor?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Hodor?
Do you think Hodor is going to become Willis again anytime soon?
No, but I bet he finds out what happens.
Yeah.
What happened? Hodor.
I think it involves a great bit of violence.
Oh, yeah. So the whole thing, the scene with Willis was that they were going to have Benjen spar with him, right?
Yep.
But he gets taken off and say, oh, he's not going to be doing that stuff because he's a stable boy. Well, of course he does that stuff. If you just said that he's not going to be doing that stuff, then of course we know he's going to do that stuff.
Yep.
So obviously he gets in a fight with something and it fucks him up. That's what had to be what happened. And then somebody probably felt sorry for him and they made him a well-taken care of servant. As much as that doesn't sound very good, but that's what they do for him.
That's all I think I have for there. I still think there's going to be some dragon warging going on there. Although I think Bran, for the time being, he'll be able to warg into Hodor until Hodor becomes Willis again. Or maybe he'll be able to warg into people. Maybe he'll actually be able to control anybody.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. We don't know the extent of, you know, what are the rules of the magic. We don't know. Obviously, some people can warg into animals, but he's reliving the past. Or seeing the past, which is very strange. One of the things that we also skipped over was that Theon parts ways with Brienne, Podrick, and Sansa. And also Sansa learns that Arya is still alive or was alive and that Brienne had seen her. So that's interesting.
Oh yeah, we completely skipped that scene. Compared to the rest of the stuff that's going on, that seemed kind of minor, but... it's still important.
It does seem kind of minor, but it definitely ties in with the whole Yara thing, right?
Yeah.
So you have the Balon's little brother showed up, killed him.
Oh,
Yara wants to take over.
That's true. Maybe
and
we have
Theon's going to be coming
third
back.
Contender for the king. Yara, the Uncle Urin or whatever, and then Yaren.
Urine, I think. Like pee.
Yeah. And now Theon.
And Theon, yeah. I wonder what they'll think when they find out he doesn't have a dick anymore. That's true. He's not right. I mean, they're going to see that he's kind of fucked up. So I don't think they're going to give him anything.
Unless somebody wants to make him a puppet or something.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know how that's going to play out. Or even, you know, what the hell do they plan on doing? They kind of seem... They've already proven that they can't hold territory. Is that a lot because of the Balon's poor strategy? I don't know.
Well, even
Yar is pushing for peace.
They even said they, right? You know, they can't. They're just not equipped for it. You know, they have ships. They're, they're unrivaled on the
they're
sea.
They're reavers.
But, yeah.
Yes. So they don't. They come in and pillage your village, but they're not like an army. And then you know how the thing is gonna when Brienne and Sansa reach Castle Black. I don't know how that's all going to play in. Sansa with Jon Snow.
I don't think they are.
You don't think they're ever going to reach that?
Nope.
Well, I did see on the next episode, some dude comes in to Ramsay and says, I have a gift for you.
That's exactly what I think.
Is that what you think? Yep. Did they get captured?
Yep. Or maybe Theon. They get Theon back or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Theon's on his own, so he will be easily captured. Yeah, who knows? I don't know how that's going to play out. And then what was great was this episode. Last episode, I said all the people that we haven't touched base with.
Yep.
With the exception of Osha and Rickon, which I don't think we'll ever see again.
Nope. Yeah. Or maybe that's
Bran,
maybe that's the people they have in the
Yara.
Next episode.
Right.
I doubt it. But so talking about King's Landing, that whole scene with Jaime and the High Sparrow and all the
yeah,
sparrows.
And the Faith Militant.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they were there to capture him? Because he said, you know,
what about my sins?
Yeah, are you going to put me in a cell?
And then he stated them all, though.
Yeah.
So he's kind of already confessed, so I don't know what they're going to do. He's got to be punished?
Yeah.
They're not going to take him. He's not just going to give up.
No.
I think he walks out of there.
Well, that's kind of one of them. So what was the point of all those sparrows showing up? Was it just to protect the old sparrow, or was it to capture Jaime? And
if he was to capture
Jaime, why didn't Jaime just murder that old guy?
It was to do something in case Jaime did something.
In that case, why initiate it in the first place? Like, why? What did he have to gain from that entire encounter? Unless it was just to kind of throw their authority and everything to the face. Basically, I can go wherever I want.
Well, yeah,
even
he
when
basically said that
there.
He could overthrow a kingdom, right? That's what he's saying he's doing.
Oh, yeah, that's
basically
definitely
saying, hey, your time's numbered.
He's basically has higher aims than where he's currently at. I think that's definitely a thing.
Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he wants a theocracy. I guess that's the way the government's kind of set up, but kings and queens are not above the laws of the seven gods or whatever. But I think that we're going to see the Faith Militant is going to be slaughtered by, you know...
Hopefully the mountain.
The King's Landing militia or whatever.
Yep.
We'll see. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a battle down there, and I hope it happens sooner than later. And I hope both Cersei and the High Sparrow dies, leaving Jaime in charge.
I don't know. I'm kind of like this new... basically Cersei now in... like complete control of everything with the full support of Jaime. It's not like Jaime has no qualms anymore. He has no doubts. Like he said, fuck the rest of the world. It's all about us now. I'm so ready for that. I want to see some sweet, sweet vengeance. Because whatever you would call Cersei, I would never call her weak.
No, I just don't like her. And then we're probably going to see marauding dragons in Meereen. That's what I guess there.
You think there's going to be... I think they're going to be pretty well behaved for the time being.
I think they're going to go marauding in the rest of Slaver's Bay. You know, those two other cities that the Masters took over.
Yeah, or maybe we'll see Tyrion riding a dragon out to save Daenerys. A trio of dragons going to swipe out that horde?
There's still the big, big dragon, right?
Yeah.
He's still out there. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
You think we'll see Varys riding a dragon too?
No.
I really like Varys as well. Varys is... I love those two, the two.
I like Varys, but he won't ever be on the back of a dragon.
He's not that type.
He's not that type.
So what do you think the Jon's resurrection has in store for all of Castle Black? Do you think he's going to just, like, lead them, or you think
he's
going to take
them
south?
Yeah, I think he's going to lead him, but I think that he's going to encounter issues with holy, you know, that's evil magic type stuff. You know, you're back from the dead, you should be dead. Whatever brought you back is bad.
Because,
you know, there's... On the other side of the wall, people come back to life too, sort of. But, you know, they're all ravenous, hungry, dead, walking.
I think they'll see it as a blessing instead of a curse. Just like the...
I think he's still going to...
One Brotherhood Without Banners guy.
Stuff like that. Yeah, but we only see the one group that likes that guy. No one, you know...
True, it's not widely known. Yeah.
Right.
Also, do you think they're linked with the Sparrows, the Brother Without Banner? Because they, I mean, what they basically said, you know, power to the people kind of thing. I think they will be in the end.
I don't think that, well, I don't think that the Sparrows want power to the people. They want power to the religion.
That's true. And there's two different gods at work there, too. The Lord of Light and the Seven.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll definitely be interesting. You know, so Oathbreakers next, the name of the next episode,
which I think has to do with Jon Snow. Some kind of
clues.
And the
he's going to break the Oath of the Black.
Yep. Maybe lead them all south.
Could be. Yeah, abandon the wall.
Because that's the largest oath I can think of. I can't. And maybe, I mean, I don't know who else.
Well, so you have the King's Watch, right? Where the King's Guard and King's Landing, they have an oath. Isn't Jaime called the Oathbreaker?
Yep.
Because he. And the King Slayer, because he, you know, he broke his oath to protect the king and killed him.
Yep. But I can't see, like, it doesn't, they haven't played up any plots with the, like, the Kingsguard murdering Tommen or anything like that. There's been no hints at all on that, unless maybe Cersei does it or something.
I can't see. I'm just saying he's known as the Oathbreaker, so it could be about what he does. Not necessarily breaking another oath.
Oh, you're saying Oathbreaker as in referring specifically to Jaime.
To him, yeah. Now, I wanna say there's been something else called the Oathbreaker, and I wanna say it was Jaime's sword, and then he had it reforged for Brienne.
Yeah, so that would make sense that, with the whole story arc with Sansa or whatever their right. travels
so,
to
cause,
Castle Black. Because
he gave it, he basically outfitted her, right?
Yeah,
so that she could keep her oath to because she kept her oath. She kept her oath to bring him to King's Landing, and so that she could continue to keep her oath by protecting the children, the Stark children, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, they basically renamed that into the Oath Keeper, didn't they? His sword? Something I'll have to review, but that just sparked in the back of my mind. So maybe it has to do about Brienne.
So maybe they'll follow all three plot lines pretty heavily, and we'll see some surprises in all three.
Yeah, and it could be, because they do tend to do that it's all tying together, so everybody's coming home type thing. Was this, you know, you said regime changes, but, you know, everybody's actually had to do with Bran coming home. That's why they call it home. So, yeah, we'll have to see what next episode brings. I was very surprised that they resurrected Jon so quickly. I kind of get the feeling that you know, they tend to draw things out a lot, but I wonder now, since they're at kind of the end of the source material of the books, if they're just doing no holds barred. It's like, well, what source material we have left isn't much, and so they have to make up, you know, or they don't make it up.
Well, it's either they leave the plot line hanging, which means nothing will happen, because I doubt anybody's going to, like, Davos, even though he's kind of loosely in charge, isn't really going to make any earth-shattering decisions there at the wall. So I can't see that plot line moving without Jon.
I'm just saying that in the past, I feel like they've stretched things like that out, though.
Yeah, there aren't enough. I don't think there are enough stories.
And they're stretching it out right now in Meereen. That's way fucking stretched out. The whole Meereen Daenerys freaking storyline is super stretched.
I think we'll see that moving, too.
That could totally be condensed into, like, four meaty episodes. You know what I mean? Like, as far as the plot development there, I don't think enough things have happened there to warrant all the time we spend in Meereen or Slaver's Bay.
Maybe in the past episodes, but not so far this season.
But I think they have to stretch that storyline out because, you know, her storyline eventually converges with everybody else's. So
they can't keep stretching the other storylines out,
you know, so they have to condense, you know, they've got a point at which all the storylines converge.
So they can't rush her story Like, they can't rush her story. They have to kind of let hers play out until, like, cause she's in no way close to coming to Westeros at this point in time.
Well, I think, yeah, they have, you can introduce any number of MacGuffins to get her to Westeros immediately. The dragon's waiting for her at the Temple of the Cow Wives.
And just so picks her up and flies off to Westeros.
There. Yeah, you know, there's any number of things you could do.
Yeah, but then you have the other characters, like Varys and Tyrion and everybody just
You don't have there. A big enough imagination if you can't imagine a single plot device to get everybody over there. Because that's what writers do.
Yeah, but I don't know. It'd be weird, because especially with all the ships being burned and shit. Not everyone's going to take a dragon. Everyone just grab their dragon. Let's all go.
Okay, so she flies to Braavos and finances a whole fleet of ships.
Subjugates
Braavos. arrives in Meereen with the fleet of Braavosi ships and then sails across the fucking Narrow Sea. You know, I don't know. I don't know how the hell this plays out, but maybe the damn Narrow Sea dries up and then just fucking march across. Who knows? I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
That would be funny.
But something should happen. Or maybe it freezes. So winter's coming, right? It's a Narrow Sea. Perhaps it freezes. And then you can walk across it when it's frozen.
That's
just saying. I'm just throwing stuff out.
Yeah,
there.
That's a very wild winter's coming.
That's interesting. That's a thing that we have not heard a lot about. Really, you know, no one's since we lost Ned Stark. Not a lot of people's been saying winter's coming.
It's been alluded to a little bit, like even the Queen of Thorns or whatever. She mentioned, you know, we've got food stored up.
Have you heard it this season?
No, not this season. No, okay, definitely not this season.
Then it's all it. It's
which
all
is really season. Weird, since we know, like, we have definitive proof the White Walkers are coming.
Team White Walker.
Yeah,
can't wait till they lay waste everybody.
That's why I'm all for Cersei going on her revenge kick now. Let's get that in, and then she can die and become a White Walker.
No, she's not going to become a White Walker. She's going to become whatever. The Revenants or whatever.
You're right. Just a ghoul or whatever.
Yeah, a ghoul.
White or whatever they call them.
Whites. That's what they call them. Sorry. There's so much necromancy in my head. I get them all confused. Could be a white, a wraith. They're kind of, you know, incorporeal. I don't know.
I saw a joke the other day.
Gas. Could be a ghast.
I have a joke for you.
No, they call them whites. You have what?
A joke for you.
Better be good, Jesse.
Somebody says, raising a family is so hard. Necromancer responds, not if they're buried close enough together.
What?
What?
Yeah, I saw that one. That one's good. All right. So is there anything else we want to talk about?
I think that covers most of the wild speculation I want to do.
Yeah, I think that some cool things happened. We got some plot movement. Bruce is dead. Ramsay's in charge. Jon Snow's back. Tommen made up with her mom, with his mom.
Tyrion's befriending dragons.
Yeah, dragons are now back in the plot line, I think, because, you know, they kind of stuffed them down there in the dungeon. Now they got them coming back out. So
it's definitely
lots of things.
Lots of consolidation of power bases.
I wonder how Arya's storyline hooks back in with everything. Obviously, you know, Daenerys is there to take the throne. Jon Snow is there to defend against the White Walkers.
I don't know.
Where do the faceless men work into this?
I don't think they do. I think. I'm sure.
Maybe
Arya
assassinates the Night.
Yeah,
the Night King.
I'm sure they will, but I don't see
something like
it.
That. We'll see. Later. All right. With that, I'd like to thank everybody for coming back and listening to us on another episode of the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host Michael.
And I'm your host Jesse. Valar Morghulis.
you should execute that traitor.